Here we are on another Sunday. I realize it's Mother's Day, and I looked at the texts, and I'm afraid I didn't really come up with a huge Mother's Day thing. So, sorry about that. If I need to apologize, I do so. I do have a bit of a problem with Mother's Day sermons. It's got nothing to do with you, any of you. It has something to do with the fact that on Mother's Day, as I was growing up, the pastor preached messages about how fathers needed to be less awful. And then on Father's Day, he preached messages basically that fathers need to be less awful. And so it sort of put me off the whole idea, because if nothing else, I looked at the mothers that I knew in my world, and they were all quite wonderful people. And the fathers weren't bad either. So it turned me off the whole thing. And then I looked at these texts, and there was nothing in there that stood out to me as fitting in there. So what I ended up looking at is, what do we need to do? Because I like knowing what I need to do. Even when I was younger and was one of those people who was very much in the don't tell me what to do crowd, I still wanted to know what I needed to do. I just didn't want anybody else to tell me what it was. That causes the obvious problem when you're too young to know what you need to do. But it's a stage we all go through. And so even now, as I think about sort of life in general, I want to know what it is that I need to do. Because all of us have a unique context in which there are things that only we can do. And I know we hear all the time, nobody's irreplaceable, nobody, well, that's true in one way, but it's not true in another, because as I've said before, like, nobody can be Eli's grandpa but me. I mean, he might get another one, but it wouldn't be the same one as me. No one can be, like, you can't be anybody else's father the same way you can be a father to your own children, or those that you've taken on in that parent-like thing or mother-like thing. I have had all kinds of people who have given of themselves in ways that you'd think we were related, but we're not. But we need to realize that we are in a particular place, and there are things that we need to do. And as I looked through all three of our texts, and I was writing it down, right, so I put a little note in each of the texts about what we need to do, and they sum up quite nicely as do good. So the nice thing about this, among many others, is we're called to do what we want to do anyway. In my entire life, I have met one person who enjoyed doing not good. Looking in retrospect, I knew him in school, like public school. He probably needed professional help. I'm guessing he was a psychopath of some sort, completely lacking in empathy, and did whatever he felt like, in a way that anything that made him feel better was fine. I don't know how many people I've known, but one out of all that group suggests that the majority of us want to do good. We want to do good things, because in the doing of good, we feel good, at least all but this one person I know seems to be. And not only that, when we're doing that, we're following one of Jesus' direct demands. First verse of our gospel lesson: if you love me, you will obey what I command. Okay? What does Jesus command? Some reason I'm a little more dehydrated today, so whoever has to listen to that later, I'll clip that out for them, I guess, but you're just going to be stuck with it. So what did Jesus command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So that's what we need to do. That's following Jesus' command. When we look at what Paul is talking about, all of these things where he's saying, you people of Athens, you are so desperate to know what to do and to do the right thing, you even have a shrine to an unknown God. People often talk about Paul's experience with the Greeks in Athens, and they sort of it's easy for us not so much to look down on these Greeks, but to go, what were they thinking? Well, what they were thinking is that they knew there was more to life than just what they could touch and smell and see, but they didn't know enough to know exactly what that might be. So they covered all of their bases by saying that to an unknown God. Paul said, I'm here to tell you who that God is. Some listened, some didn't. Some said he was crazy. Some enjoyed an argument, so they stuck around. And what Paul was doing to them, saying that you are connected to this God, and began the process of saying that because we are connected to this God, we need to behave as this God wants us to. To do good. And in Peter, spent a lot of time in Peter. I just finished writing out 1 Peter. It's not very long. It only takes a few days if you really want to do it. I'm not suggesting you should. It's just something I do. And Peter says, who's going to harm you if you are eager to do good? So not only are there all kinds of benefits to us doing good, it also protects us from harm. At least that's Peter's point. And I think for the most part, he's right. I've seldom been persecuted for doing what I was supposed to do. I've occasionally been made fun of. That's just the nature of workplaces that are made up primarily of men who use big tools and things. They tend to make fun of whatever there is available to make fun of, and it was fine. But nobody's ever really taken a run at me for doing what I was supposed to do. And so I think for most of us, this message is one of, certainly not one of rebuke or anything like that. I think what it is, and what I took from this is, I was reading this, I was pondering this over the last few days, is it's another example of the lectionary saying, you're doing fine. And this is one of the things you're doing fine with. And keep going and keep doing it. For some reason, the fact that I preach has come up a lot lately, and I don't know why. And with people who don't, you know, the people I work with and that kind of thing. And, you know, they ask me questions like, well, they ask me why. That one's a little bit longer to answer. But sometimes they say, like, so what, you know, what do you do? What are you trying to accomplish? And I said, what I'm mostly trying to do is remind us that we're doing okay, that we're doing a pretty good job. But have we thought about this part of the job we're doing, and maybe we could do it a little bit better? And often I think what I'm doing up here is I'm reminding you of how well you're doing. There seems to be something about the human spirit that looks for what's wrong in us and what we're doing, and we're constantly critiquing ourselves. And that's not a bad thing in and of itself, but sometimes it gets out of hand. And we'll start looking at the few things we do that aren't what we want to do and say, that's who we are. And I'm here to tell you that's not who you are, to remind you of that. Not because I think anyone here is having a struggle with your particular identity, but just because I have times when I forget that God has placed me here to preach, placed me where I work, put me in the home I'm in, given me the family I have, to become the best version of myself I can. And how I do that is by doing what I need to do, which is to do good. Is to take seriously the command of Christ to love God and to love my neighbor. And neighbors don't begin outside our walls. They begin inside our walls, because our neighbors, our family members, count in there too. And I think all of you are doing well. When we chat before and after the service, I hear of little acts of kindness and grace that you provide, and they encourage me. And they remind me that we serve a God who hasn't said, if you do the wrong thing, as my camp kids used to say, I'll squash you like a bug. God doesn't say that. Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says, do what I command. And guess what? Here are the commands. Love God and love your neighbor. And then there's lots of different ways to do that that we see in Scripture, and we know lots of different ways to do it ourselves. But the thing is that the question, what do we need to do, isn't so much a question of ignorance. It's a rhetorical question to remind us, to remind me. These days tend to be unusually stressful. Lots going on at work. What's going to happen at the end of this contract? Stuff galore. So what do I need to do in all of that? Love God. Love the people around me. And you know, when I do that, it really helps make things less stressful. More centered. The stress doesn't go away, or at least the things that cause the stress don't go away. That's not how it works. But I find that when I'm working towards becoming a better version of me, when I'm doing my best to listen to the Holy Spirit about what I need to do to become the person I was created to be, that those things are less of a problem. They're still there. They're still a challenge. But when I'm doing what I need to do, at least I don't have the ongoing issue of where should I be or what's going on. So as you go into this week, as we go into communion, as you go into whatever it is you do next, this is what you need to do. Do good as you love God and love your neighbor. Amen.